Hey y'all!
Welcome to NOHL Hearts, a podcast to raise awareness about congenital heart defects and discuss resources for CHD and some other stuff.
We're just two heart mamas from New Orleans doing this for heart mamas. Our dads, grandmas, aunts, friends, whoever may want to listen.
That's Susan Oakland.
And that's Lena Stevens. And we feel like we've got a lot to say. Always.
We always have a lot to say.
Happy May, everybody.
It's May Day.
You know what it is?
It's going to be May.
It's the last month of school.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Not that I'm counting down.
I am.
But I am.
I am.
I have.
I'm definitely counting down for seventh grade.
Oh,
I
my
hate
God,
it.
Me too. Please
I hate
get
seventh
me
grade
out.
Very
Jesus,
much.
Take the wheel, get me out.
Uh-huh. But also, I am cautiously counting down, but hanging on tight because we're about to start all of our senior year stuff.
I can't. Has she started taking her pictures?
No, not yet, but it's coming. We've already started putting aside outfits and everything, but it's one of those super bittersweet. I mean, obviously in our situation too, especially I was dying to get here, but now I'm okay, pump the brakes. Let's just stop it now.
I wonder if I always want to ask people is it extra emotional when your kid's a legacy? You know, to see her go through all the.
Yeah, I mean, the legacy part's nice, but, I feel like we're just, we're hitting milestones that,
We didn't know
we didn't know if we were going to get there.
Yeah.
I
mean, a big deal.
In the first couple of weeks, it's well, I can't even think to teen years. So, to be there is awesome. It's just awesome.
To reach a milestone that you didn't know if it was ever going to be a thing.
So, I'm excited, but. Anyway, it's the next year. Y'all may hear me sniffling a lot on this podcast because it's a lot. But we're here for it. What's new? We're sniffling.
I'll sniffle with you.
Okay.
With you. So it's May. So for the month of May, we always try to celebrate Mother's Day and Mother's.
And feature moms. And what's funny is we featured moms in April because April was Donate Life Month, and we had two moms with us. Well, three different moms.
That.
Yeah, but
yeah.
We're all about the moms in April and May. I guess June we have to give some props to some of the dads or other professions. We're giving a lot of attention to the moms.
But that's also because the men don't really share their feelings.
They don't
feelings.
They're not sharers. But also don't email us and say, why are you only having moms on here? Because maybe they came forward and they wanted to be interviewed, okay? That's
right.
How that's going.
So send us.
And also you're dealing with two moms that started this podcast. We can have whoever we want on here. Am I right?
I do like hearing men perspectives though.
I do.
It's so different.
But we have so few that want to chitty chat about it,
That's true. So, yeah, so this will be our first episode in May. So, Lana.
Yeah, so.
What you doing for Mother's Day?
Good question. I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Kevin in the next room what he has planned.
Let's see. So far, Emily's only asked me 3 times what I want for Mother's Day.
Really?
Only 3. It's the same answer every time. But,
which is peace, quiet, and I just want to go to church, enjoy a lunch meal with y'all without fighting. I know, we went through this last year.
Wait, no. I gave her an item. I said I recently got a water facial at Earth Savers. For the first time in my life, I got a facial. Everyone swears by them. Now I know why. How easy is that? You go, you tell them what I want, you pay, and then I get to enjoy the peace. Do you have any other ideas?
She said that's not good.
No, I don't know. And we're talking about a dinner one night, and I tell Emily, I was like, I would like this facial from Earth Savers. Dwayne goes, why are you telling her? And I said, because you're never going to remember.
Yeah.
You're going to ask her, so I need her to remember.
Right. She's in charge.
So we've only asked 3 times. Let's see. Let's discuss next time what Susan gets.
Well, so last week, this is a funny story. This is not where this podcast was going, but I'm going to say it anyway. last week, Kevin and Carson, we're going somewhere, Walmart, Target. No, certainly nowhere fancy that the Stevens shop at. And I said, and by the way, if y'all are looking for something for me for Mother's Day, I really could use and need, which is really not even about me, it's about my house. I could use a new springy, summery, door hanger. Not wreaths, because I feel like we've gotten away from wreaths in 2023. But I was like, so yeah. And so then they ran to wherever they ran. And they come back, and Carson straight up says,
we didn't get you anything.
We couldn't find any door hanger. Sorry. And that's how that went. So I don't know if I'm going to get one.
Guess
but
what?
We'll see.
Kevin, if you're listening,
which
I can tell you where to get them. I can tell you where to get it, Kevin.
Yeah. So anyway, it's Mother's Day, not this weekend, but next. But we're going to feature some moms. And we have a special guest with us today in-house. We've said before, we don't have a whole lot of guests that are in person, but we have one of our in-person guests today. Casey is going to chat with us about her experience with her son, Noah, and his heart transplant. And I know we kind of talked about transplant a little bit last month, but it kind of carried over and we kind of realized that we had more than we realized of families and parents that wanted to share their stories. And so we're going to talk to Casey today about her son Noah's experience with transplant. So welcome, Casey.
Hey, hi. Casey.
She's here with us in our studio. Casey, what do you think of our studio?
This is a fancy studio.
It's very fancy.
I love the art.
And the chair. The accommodations are amazing.
I feel as though we need to do a YouTube video one day soon just to show, like, what is so not fancy about our studio.
Why? I feel like...
Just keep people wondering.
Let's keep
the
people wondering.
The table and chair is really over the top.
I did. You know, I forgot to tell you this. So my mom got our article framed and matted and framed.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so she's like, where are you going to hang it? I said, I might bring it to Lana's house. She goes, why? I'm like, well, that's where the studio
That's where we do it. I should probably frame that one because I do have a copy.
Said we could hang it up in the studio. Like,
oh, that was sweet of her. That was very sweet of her. Nobody did that for me.
I noticed that Lana gets the nice.
Yeah, she does. Lana gets the cushy chair.
But do you want to explain why?
Susan gets the sticks. No, I'm just kidding. Lana gets the fancy chair because it's closest to the computer and Susan has zero knowledge about
I gotta
the
be able to roll
software
in the chair.
System.
I gotta be able to roll back and forth. To, okay. Hey, on, off, on. Like, I'm so technical. If any of my IT people at work
That's
are listening to me,
reasoning.
They're like, this is terrible. If she's technical, we're in trouble.
That's good reasoning.
It is reasoning. Okay, anyway. So, Casey, we're going to chat today about Noah. We're going to chat with you about you and your family. First, let's start off. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and kind of get into a little more detail of how you became a heart mom. And tell us a little bit about Noah.
So, my name is Casey. And
wait, and back up. We knew each other before.
Oh,
we knew each other.
Tillman and Tracy.
This is another like total like Godwink small
weird.
World situation.
Yeah,
where Casey and I knew one another because she was friends with Kevin and I's nephew, and all of our kids are close to the same age. So when all of this came about, we knew of you already.
Yeah,
and then got to know you more after that. That's that other little Godwink of it's a small world
right.
city
plus
of New Orleans.
Kids, heart transplant,
right.
you work at
yes,
Lobo, like,
yes, all kind of connections.
Weird.
Yeah, but also not.
And then our kids play flag football together.
Yes, and Noah's dad was Carson's coach this past football season.
It's
so
like
we're
going to
I might be a stalker. But we're going to fast forward to that and talk about football season at the end of this story, right? Okay.
Yes.
So let's start with Noah. What age was that?
So he was 2 years old and he started presenting with symptoms. Went to the ER, diagnosed with restrictive cardiomyopathy. Full heart failure. Need a transplant to survive.
Not viral. Okay.
No. Viral is myocarditis.
Okay.
And nothing at birth.
Nothing.
And okay. do they know what causes that or what starts that?
Most of the time it's idiopathic.
Okay.
So they have, because the genetics on it is not clear and definitive, they have some that they have been able to correlate with genetics, but just because they can't correlate it, they can't rule it out.
Gotcha.
So it's just not a perfected science because they don't know specifically what they're looking for. Like one of the moms that I met in Houston when we were there, she was waiting, her daughter was waiting for a transplant with Noah. And they ended up being able to do a lot of genetic testing. It took a while and they found a gene in hers. And it's actually the dad that carries the gene, but he is asymptomatic, has been all of his life. And she's got three younger boys.
Wow.
One of them has had to have a transplant as well. Okay. The other two, cardiology follows them, but
nothing major.
They're not, no.
And what were some of his symptoms?
So he had some symptoms like from birth to diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Where I just thought I was going crazy because he just, like, he was an awful baby. God love him, but he cried all the time. And
but I feel like we all, like, that's easy to kind of bypass.
Well, yeah, because they say that's colic.
Yeah, right. They said all
he was colicky, right. But he couldn't handle certain things. And then it was failure to thrive because he wasn't crawling, he wasn't moving, nothing. And then he, you know, it. We saw rheumatology, neurology, cardiology, because they heard a heart murmur. And he was also very sick. Like, when he would get sick.
Sickly, yeah.
It was pneumonia. And then he had C. diff four times. Which, hindsight 2020.
Right.
Normal kids don't. That, it's not common.
No, not that age, no.
So, and he wasn't in daycare. He wasn't, you know. So, we can look back now and say, oh.
That makes sense.
Well, right. But he started one day just having, like, he would scream in his crib. And we went and got him. And then he would just go limp, unresponsive, turning blue. We called 911. They got lost, coming to the house. And the first night, they said it was constipation and sent us home. He was going into AFib. When you can go in and out of AFib.
Yes.
That and when you're out of it,
it's fine. You're fine. Yeah. Yeah.
So by the time the ambulance got there, because they got lost, he had pulled out of the episode, if you will. So he appeared normal. And so they're probably thinking, oh, new parents, you know, he's fine. The next night he did it again.
And, at home?
Okay. And Brad was like, get in the car. We were driving on curbs. And I go into, like, panic mode. And he processes. So we're in the car. He's calling Oshner. We were there last night. I'm not doing triage. We're coming in, you know, on
coming
two
in
wheels.
Hot. Yeah. Coming in hot on two wheels.
And
let
we did.
In.
Like, the poor valet guy. I mean, we rolled right up into the valet, jumped out of the car. Brad threw the keys to the guy, and the nurse was waiting for us. And she looked at him, and she was like, oh, no. Threw him right. I mean, didn't even take us back to Peds. Just threw him right in a bed and started. I mean, poor thing. He had two paddles on his hands, you know, the boards they put, and stuck lines and holes in every orifice. And so that's when we got the restrictive cardiomyopathy.
Okay.
His heart rate was 225 by the time we got to the ER.
Okay,
so let me ask, restricted, are there more than one type?
Yes, viral cardiomyopathy.
So there's myocarditis, which is the viral. A lot of times, like Kawasaki disease can throw you into that. But that, if you catch it in a certain window, it's reversible. But there's the three most common are dilated cardiomyopathy, restrictive, and hypertrophic. Dilated is the opposite of restrictive, not the opposite, but restrictive and hypertrophic can have kind of the same physiology because it's just the heart muscle thickens
And weakens.
Stiffens.
Yeah, and weakens
a lot. And it's just disease of the heart muscle.
So from there, after the diagnosis, you guys were transferred over to Texas Children's, right?
Right.
Okay. And then how long after were you placed on the transplant waiting list?
So it took a little while because after we got there, he became very unstable.
Yeah.
He coded, needed full life support. And so for that window of time that he was on life support, infection, all
we
those
need
things.
To get him better before we got him. Yeah.
Activate him. And he had four open heart surgeries in 3 weeks. Like, emergent. Got to do this.
Oh, wow.
So, from the time he was actually active, and then he ended up going septic after the fourth one, so that pushed us even further.
Longer time, yeah.
Because they're not going to activate him on the list if they're septic.
Right.
It's just, you know, a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So, it was, like, 189 days.
Wow.
He was on the list, and he was on double Berlins.
Okay, yeah, okay. So,
both hearts failed.
Okay.
But we learned to live in the hospital, and he thought it was normal. We walked the halls. He dressed up every day with a different mask. And
y'all were wearing masks before masks were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
But not those kind of masks.
We always talk about that.
Yeah.
We were wearing like cool Batman and
Right.
Not those kind of paper
masks. So fast forward to what month did transplant come?
It was August.
And so August, he must have been very, very sick if he was actively, he was status one waiting in the hospital.
Right.
And we
his transplant surgery was 16 hours.
Wow.
Because he had so much scar tissue mm-hmm. and just all the things built. He was just
bloated and bleeding. Just a lot of things. Yeah.
And then we had several complications after rejection
mm-hmm.
and then worse rejection.
And how many bouts of rejection did you guys go through?
Two.
Okay.
And is it what's normal?
It depends on the person, huh? Some never go into rejection. Some people,
Their hope
reject
is
none. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I didn't know if rejection was a normal.
It's not uncommon in the
uncommon,
first year.
Uncommon might be a better word.
They're trying to figure out medicines and stuff to figure out what's gonna be best.
Yeah. So, and they don't know how, like, you have cellular rejection, mm-hmm. then you have antibody-mediated rejection, because you don't know what that person's... Like, the way his doctor told me, he said, if he was a normal, healthy kid, he's got a robust immune system.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great. We don't want that.
Right.
We need it to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
And his just ramped all the way up. And so he ended up in cellular. We treated that. And then he was in antibody.
Mm-hmm.
So his antibodies that his body had built, so he had to go in ICU, central line, heavy duty.
Mm-hmm. Antibiotics and stuff, yeah.
Drugs that just wiped everything out.
So after transplant, how long were you guys in Houston before you were able to come home?
So we stayed there. So he got out of the hospital right before Halloween.
Okay.
And we came home right before Christmas.
Okay.
So we stayed there for...
He was three by then? Yeah. He had just turned three. Okay.
Yep. We celebrated his third birthday there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. And so then we lived a while with transplant bumps in the road here and there, but you would go back how often to Houston? You were here permanently. Like, you were living at home, right?
Yep.
But you would go back as you still normally do. You go back for your checkups yearly or
so. Our average is every 4 months.
Okay. Okay.
And then in 2019.
Yeah.
When COVID hit,
uh-huh.
he got non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And that is common from the meds.
It's not common.
It's a side effect.
But it happens. Yeah. Yeah.
That particular type of cancer or just cancer in general?
It's usually a proliferative disorder, and they can monitor it usually it's usually caused by the Epstein-Barr virus, because so many people, like 98% of the adult population is Epstein-Barr positive. Once you're infected with Epstein-Barr, it lies dormant in your body. When you're immunosuppressed, it can reactivate. So with these transplants, and they know that, like mm-hmm. this is, research and medicine has advanced, so they know to look for that. Well, okay. His Epstein-Barr levels have never made sense. So we never could go by that. But because it's a lympho disease, usually you can feel like under mm-hmm, the armpits, mm-hmm. in the neck, in the groin. His were all in the lungs. Your lungs are full of lymph nodes. So it was nothing that was visible that you could see. His levels, like his blood levels, couldn't correlate anything with them. And so it wasn't until it reached the point of...
How did y'all find out? Was he symptomatic of mm-hmm. it?
Yeah. By the time we brought him to the ER, his entire right lung was collapsed because his airway was...
And y'all brought him in because he was having trouble breathing?
So he started... So it's COVID, mm-hmm. right? And nobody knows anything about anything. So everybody's paranoid. They don't want you to bring him in because they don't... But he was...
He was diagnosed after March of 2020 then, huh? You said 2019 before, but I feel like it was during COVID.
Was COVID 2020?
Yeah.
2019? I don't know.
Yeah, it was
all my years meshed together.
Yeah.
He was diagnosed in July.
Of 2020?
So, yeah. Okay. So I pulled him out of school in April.
Gotcha.
Because everybody was like, COVID, God. So I pulled him out.
Well, no, everybody was homeschooling then, right? Probably, I would think.
Yeah, I feel like March, it was Friday the 13th.
Yeah, March 13th, we all left school. So he probably wasn't in school, but then in July.
No, he wasn't in school. And so
nobody was.
So Brad and I are thinking, like, all right, you're just, because he's just kind of sluggish and mm-hmm. doesn't feel like, he's been sitting in his room playing video games and living his best life, right? So,
weren't we all?
I had called Ochsner, like trying to keep in touch with everybody. I'm like, ah, he's got like this little wheeze that's going on, but he's not having trouble breathing. He's not, no other signs or symptoms. And none of us were thinking.
You were thinking.
PTLD at all.
No, you're thinking like, because he doesn't have COVID.
He had had a scan in October.
I was going to ask, did they do scans like every so often to check? So,
because he had had a history of the start of this proliferative disorder. And so we would see oncology, but we would scan and the same thing in the lungs was there, mm-hmm. but he wasn't symptomatic. And so we would just. So we were kind of trying to figure out how is the best way to manage this. Mm-hmm. So he had just had a scan in October. So this is July now.
Yeah.
That's not long.
No.
So he's got like this little wheat and it's not consistent. There's no rhyme or reason or pattern, no fever, nothing. So I had called and I called Houston, called Osher, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm so torn. I don't mm-hmm. want to bring him in.
Yeah, because it's COVID.
What do we do?
Yeah.
I had changed his clinic appointment. He was going to do that at Ochsner this time because I didn't want to have to travel mm-hmm. to Houston and stay in a hotel right. and germs and all the things. I think it's fine. We're going to see him Monday. Mm-hmm. And so by Friday, Brad was like, get up. Come on. We're going for a walk. We got to get outside. Mm-hmm. Do something. And he couldn't make it two doors down.
Ugh.
And he was just no color, winded. Couldn't. And I said, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to go. So Brad brought him because it's COVID. So right. it's only one caregiver at a time. And so he calls me. He's like, what's his oxygen usually? I'm like, if you have to call me and ask me mm-hmm. that, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, it was 82.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was on like 5 liters of oxygen.
God. Okay.
So they're doing scans. And I'm a basket case because mm-hmm. I'm not there. And you know mm-hmm. me. I'm
right. Right.
So they found the mat, and they were all in the upper airway, not inside the lung, on the outside of the trachea.
Okay.
Pushing, because that's where, you know, it's lymph nodes, it's lymphoma, that's what
right.
it is. And so it was pushing on that main bronchus that right. comes
why
from
breathing.
His entire right. They said, we don't know how you walked in here. We've seen grown men with like
he's
pneumonia.
Got a high tolerance, but you've said that before.
And that's, I tell him sometimes, I'm like, dude, can you just feel a little? If you stub your toe, you'll right. cry for 3 days.
Yeah, right.
But your entire right lung is collapsed and you're just kind of like,
right, yeah.
It's kind of tired.
It almost makes me wonder if like they just are used to like over
feeling
just having to be over extra on things. You know what I mean?
Well, so I think like, the stub in the toe thing, I think, is more in your feelings than it is actual
totally,
pain.
Totally.
Like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Right.
Whereas.
Mom's going to pay attention to
actual,
me. My
right, exactly. Actual pain is what? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm like, dude, can you feel a little bit more?
Yeah.
Your whole lung is collapsed.
It's collapsed, right. Right.
And you were still trying to attempt to walk.
To walk, yeah. Down the street with Ted. Yeah.
No problem.
So we get this diagnosis here in New Orleans, and they transfer you back to Houston,
right.
where y'all stayed for how much longer for his treatment?
So we had to stabilize him in ICU first.
Okay.
Before anybody would biopsy. So we had no diagnosis.
Okay.
Like, we knew there was a mass.
We knew there was a mass.
Growing,
yeah.
But nobody would touch him. Mm-hmm. His oncologist was trying to consult pulmonology, ENT, nobody would stabilize him. So they put a chest tube in. And we're able to get the lung reinflated. We stabilized them. We tried a chemo that's cell specific. It only kills one. So side effects are minimal.
Right.
Clinically, he was great. We thought we were coming home. He looked good. We were doing one more PET scan. And we were going to be able to come home. We do the PET scan. And
it lit up.
The uptake was triple.
Mm.
And she's like, I'm looking at him.
Mm.
He looked like clinically... He looks fine, but now we're talking about aggressive chemo. And then you have to worry. So chemo can put you in heart failure.
Yeah.
With
you know. I have volunteers that are recipients only because they went through chemo X amount of years before. Yeah.
Plus, it can damage all the other organs that are already taking a beating from the medicine that you're on to keep the heart. So it's
a vicious cycle.
All hands on deck.
Yeah.
Infectious disease,
right.
Oncology, cardiology. So we ended up having to go through 6 rounds of 7 days on, 14 days off. And he would go inpatient, spinal tap, chemo for
so it's about 6 months or so.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did he never was positive within his spinal fluid, but they always do that prophylactic because you can have, even if you do a biopsy and it comes back clear in your spinal fluid, you can have one cell floating in there that the biopsy just doesn't get and it can completely take over. Mm-hmm. So they always do.
Yeah. Just as
spinal.
Right.
And he was a champ through the whole, never complained.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I mean, and his heart function always stayed perfect.
The heart was never a problem during the whole thing.
He's got a good heart now.
Yeah.
It's all the other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but he never complained. He never.
It's so amazing because I feel like everybody always says that. The kid never complains.
He doesn't. He never.
And Henry never really does either. All he does is talk about when he can eat.
And he'll, so yeah, I'm just going to say this nicely because I know she's not listening because she doesn't listen to our podcast, but Harley's a complainer. And it could be because she's a girl. I don't know. I'm not going to speak on behalf of all girls out there, but like, she's a little dramatic. I'm not saying she's dramatic.
See that with female.
I am not saying.
No, but I could see that in general.
So, yeah. But like, but she's like, a complainer.
Henry
I would totally be. And I would milk it for everything it was worth.
Me too.
Everything.
Me too.
Because at the end of the day, I mean.
It sucks.
They deserve it.
Right.
You know?
If anyone does.
Like one day we got to clinic and when you're on chemo, the nausea is not like, I have a stomach bug.
No, it's like, I'm going to puke right now.
It comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's COVID.
Right.
So we've got mask on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And he tried so hard to make it to the bathroom. And just couldn't.
They wouldn't give y'all the
bags? We were right there. We had just checked into clinic. I didn't. He had no.
Poor baby.
He had been fine. There was no evidence that he was even nauseated. And it just hit him out of nowhere. And he tried. He got sick. And then he took the mask and flung it off. And flung it in my direction. And I'm like,
Me and Mom can hang with that.
But he's looking at me and he's like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, sweet angel.
And then
sweet
the lady, angel. You know, it's the HEMOC floor. So they walk
they
off
know
and
what to
like,
do.
No
they're like, it's nothing. Right.
We'll
yeah.
call. And he's mm-hmm. apologizing
Another
to bomb. The lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Sweet baby.
He's apologizing to the lady. I'm like, dude, you don't have to apologize. You're fine. You are way fine.
I know, but I bet that's hard.
That is hard. Because, you know, and he's, and again, how old was he there? He was probably 11, 10.
I was going to ask, how old? What? So that's 20.
That was 2020. 20. He was born in 10.
Yeah.
He was born in late 10. Yeah. So he was 10.
Yeah.
That's still, I mean, you're starting to like realize and care about what people think about things. I mean, maybe not as much as 13, 14, 15.
Or you're aware.
Right? You're aware.
Yeah, you're like, aware. Oh my God, this woman that doesn't even know me has to clean up my vomit.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was very aware.
You know? I'm sure.
Like, he would start seeing people. Like there was a little girl next to us one day while we were waiting for a PET scan. Cause you know, you got to get there, you got to check blood sugar. Then you got to get the dye that's injected and that has to sit for, and this little girl was not happy. She was screaming. And I was like, Mom, I feel so bad for her.
Oh my God. As if he isn't going through the same shit.
I know she's so scared. She's probably so scared.
Oh my God.
And he now is to the point where he knows all of the veins in his arm. You can forget it.
Yeah.
And so he always wants them to go in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll sit in the chair and he's like, all right, listen.
Like he's gonna tell you exactly.
I know
what
you're gonna tell me that this hurts more than this,
but I know what's best for me, right?
They go in here, and it blows, or they can't find it, and so they fish,
and it bothers
and
me.
And these, I
I'd just rather go straight.
He's full on conversation. I'm like, dude, I could just be your Uber now.
Yeah, like, what am I here for? Yeah,
I can drop you off.
There's something. There is something a little nice and almost independent about, like, watching them having to, you know, do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's always been
it's a little heart-wrenching, but nice. Yeah.
Because he is going, this is lifelong.
Yeah. He's going to have to follow this forever. Away. He has to learn it. Yeah.
And so, and there's so much that's out of his control.
Right.
And so I want him to always be comfortable in, you address him when you come in the room.
Yeah.
And so when we went through the whole cancer thing, because of his age,
mm-hmm.
They really, all of the doctors really commended me on that, that mm-hmm. I wouldn't take over the whole scene when they would come in. I'd let him ask questions and be honest with him. I don't lie to him.
Right, right.
Is it going to hurt?
What's it going to do?
You know what? Buddy.
Yeah, it's going to hurt.
It is.
Suck.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the he does not like change.
Mm-hmm.
So he's used to the certain areas of the hospital that we usually go to for mm-hmm. our routine things.
Right.
And so when we had to go down for the biopsy through the back and then through, you go to different places. And so that makes him anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, you can talk to the doctor mm-hmm. and I let the, don't act like he's not in the room.
Right.
Address him. And he's, can have a full,
he can have, and he can let be a lot more mature about it than people
questions.
Realize, probably.
Let him say whatever he needs. That little bit of control in your healthcare is so important.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
And it gives him
kind of like
level,
taking over. I don't know. Other than my own concerns asking a doctor, I feel like I'm really just
mm-hmm.
the chauffeur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now when I go to the doctor.
But it's good, you know, because
it is a good thing.
And
it's necessary.
They need to have that comfort. They need
well,
to
and
be,
they know what's wrong with their body. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have shortness of breath or headaches.
Right.
I can't ask the questions that he may have because I'm not feeling everything that he's feeling. So I let him take that control and ask things. And they're really good about giving age-appropriate responses.
Right, right.
But, you know, there was a time where he said, Mom, I'm really scared and nervous because he was going back for the biopsy mm-hmm. and we were in a different place, different doctors. And I said, you know what, buddy? I'm a little nervous too.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but this is what we have to do. And that's why mommy brings you
mm-hmm.
here to this facility and stays in contact
all the time.
So that we get the best treatment that you need. And I'm going to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
From the minute you go back to the minute you come out, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. I'm not going to tell you. Don't be nervous.
No, right.
No,
nothing to be nervous about. Yeah, totally entitled.
How you want
well,
to
because,
feel.
I mean, for our kids, it isn't always fine.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's not. But, you know.
So why sugarcoat it? Right.
Right, at the end of the day.
Like
you
said, you're honest with them, so that's that, yeah.
And worst case scenario, you know, one of the things that they really drilled in my head going back for that second biopsy was he could possibly come out on a breathing tube.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay.
Just prepare before.
You know, every year when he goes for mm-hmm. a biopsy, I saw, you know, death, stroke.
What,
right.
Oh, you gotta love the consensus.
So, oh, they're the worst. So, but that's not something that we need to harp on in front of him. Because if he comes out on a breathing tube, then he ain't gonna know.
Right. Well, and not only that, but like, he's still coming out and we're winning at that point.
Well,
so like, it sucks,
you know,
in that moment.
I feel like, even so, if he goes back for a biopsy
mm-hmm.
and he has a stroke,
what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. He doesn't need
mm-hmm.
to stress out about that.
Yeah.
Because he ain't gonna
because
know.
He's right. not going to know.
You no,
know?
You're right.
I mean,
you're right.
Why? It's bad. It's bad enough. Like, I know how I feel having to carry that burden.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary for him.
Right. No, I agree.
Because he probably already thinks about it.
He does.
Yeah.
You know?
And sometimes fellows are not the best with, like, the bedside thing, and they want to do consents
over
the bed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you do realize he doesn't have a hearing problem.
Yeah, right.
Like, we're not here for an audiology test.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, tell me about, and I know you and I have briefly talked about this, and we'll have to get into a whole lot of details. You do not know who his donor hero is, correct? We don't know where this heart came from exactly, but we know that. Do we know, like, an age or anything?
So it was a 2-year-old
okay.
from Dallas. Because it has
okay, so
to be...
same age. Okay.
For, yeah, right. Well, for a heart, it has to be size 10% to be, above yeah. or below their weight.
Okay. Okay. So so we know
is a 2-year-old always or just kids?
For...
No, it needs to be weight wise. It needs to be it size wise has to matter, especially lung and heart is definitely the biggest thing with yeah. with size.
Like but, you can't take an adult; it will right. grow with them, but your chest cavity is yours is going to be much larger right. than a 2-year-old,
right?
And a 2-year-old is going to be bigger than an infant,
right? Right.
So and
but some depending on some of them they can make work. So we know he was a 2-year-old.
Even adults like. Adults that have
so some kids that have with the dilated cardiomyopathy because their hearts get so enlarged,
right. so they have some
their
space.
Chest cavity yeah.
has enlarged a little bit,
so they can they go have a little bit more.
Okay, that makes sense
room.
Too. Yeah. Okay, so we don't know our donor family. That's something that could come in the future. You and I
mean,
have talked
we reached
about that.
Out to them.
Yeah,
but it's you know it's that's kind of a slippery slope. Yeah, like you don't yeah. want to be too persistent because I'm on a different end. Than they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know where their mental
right.
headspace
and we can talk, is. We can talk about that more off one. But because I know we've kind of chatted about that and you're like, I don't know if I don't want to push it. I don't want to push it. But we can talk about that after.
Well, let me ask just for our listeners, where is he in his cancer treatment?
He's done. He has been in off of treatment in remission for 2 years.
So it was like a year of treatment then, mm-hmm. huh? Okay.
So this past December, made 2 years off treatment. His heart's beautiful.
He's doing well.
He's got no...
Playing flag football.
Okay, so we're going to fast forward. So last fall, Carson signs up for his regular rec ball flag football, and we find out that Noah is on his team, and Noah's dad is Carson's coach.
This well, I text first... her, and I'm like, hey, what do you know about Delta and flag? Oh, I don't know. And then we end up on the same team. She's like, I just wasn't even thinking.
Okay, so this was his first sport he ever played, correct?
Yes.
Yes. And he was great.
Did he love it?
He loved it. He loved it.
He loved it.
I'm going to tell you, like, I hope you got some pictures and stuff of him when he was playing. Okay, because we're going to share them on our social media and stuff just so everybody can see, like, how well he's doing now.
Loved it.
But he's 12 years old now, almost 13, giving mama some heartbreak at almost 13. Aren't we all? We are all in the same boat with our 13-year-old.
He loves his mama.
Yes, he does. And he's so respectful of you and knows exactly what makes you anxious and what, you know, he knows that you're a heart mama and he is very,
oh, yeah. like
very,
medicine,
very patient.
We don't, he will come to you and go, did I have all my medicine?
Right,
yet, mom?
Right.
So he is
how much,
medicine every
how
day.
Much of his, oh, how yeah. much is he on daily?
So he takes 3 in the morning.
Okay.
And 4 in the evening.
That's not terrible.
And then he's on the IV treatment every other week.
Okay, what's that
so
for?
Every 2 weeks. The IVIG.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You go in for that?
Mm-mm.
No, you do that at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so we always ask all of our guests one question. And if you listen, you know what it is. This is a test, Casey. Do you know what our question is? She looks so nervous. I wish y'all could see
She's
how
like,
nervous.
Damn it, I didn't know there was a quiz.
She's like, there was a quiz.
I usually fall asleep at the end.
I appreciate Jeez. The honesty.
No, because I put my AirPods in and I.
All right, Susan, you want to ask our last question that we asked? Wait, her face is like, wait, what is the question? What is the question again?
This is really unfair.
No, it's not. It's not.
I knew
it's really,
you were
going
to do something to
it's
me.
It's not
to, like,
a difficult question. It's not a difficult question. So our question is, go ahead.
Our question is if you had one piece of advice to give to other heart moms or moms that have gone through this
That's what
similar
I was getting ready to say.
She's like, I knew that. That's my kids when I'm studying with them.
I was just getting ready to say that.
That is a famous line from my kids.
I was about to say that.
If you gave me another minute, Mom.
I was fixing them.
All right, what's your piece of advice?
So what's your piece of advice?
Transplant world or, you know, I know that he wasn't born with congenital heart defects, but you're still a heart mom. So what's your piece of advice? Advocate for your kid.
Advocate,
right?
Okay, and don't be afraid to challenge.
Okay,
and ask questions. I was afraid of that. You know, you're afraid. Are they going to treat me any different if I challenge them a little bit, or if I ask? Be involved, because doctors and nurses are human.
Yeah,
right.
Totally,
they make mistakes.
Right,
it happens. They have hundreds of patients.
Right.
You have one.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
It's so much advocate.
That's a good one.
And stay on top of it and challenge.
Yeah.
It's not, there's nothing wrong with asking questions. There's nothing wrong with asking for an explanation mm-hmm. in normal, you know, take your head out of the medical textbook and talk right. to me like I'm a human.
Yeah.
Because I don't know all those words you just said.
Yeah.
Dumb it down.
Yeah. Right. Dumb it down for us. Right. Right.
And they will. And, you know, if it's morning rounds and they don't have time because they need to continue on, they'll say, I can't right this second, but I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you wait for them. And if they don't come back,
you call
you
them
ask
again.
The nurse.
Yeah.
And write it down.
Right.
And keep a notebook.
Yeah, I am. I agree with you on the keep the notebook thing.
A notebook,
and I think that about everybody. Like I tell my parents that when they go to doctor's appointments mm-hmm. and stuff, because we all forget stuff. Like write it down.
Well, and you'll think of something.
You think of it later,
and then the doctor walks in, and you're like,
blank out. I forgot what I was going to ask. Yeah,
or you know, just regular hustle and bustle of the day in the hospital, things change,
mm-hmm.
and you'll forget.
Yeah. Okay, so Mother's Day is coming up, and I know Mother's Day is extra special for you because. You've not had, you know, not just one scare here and there, but you live because you live in this world of just not sure what's going to come next. What do you have planned for Mother's Day and how special is Mother's Day for you? Do you all do something traditional?
My plan is to do absolutely nothing.
I feel like that's every mom's plan, but it never happens.
No, it doesn't. So for this Mother's Day, you're spending time with Noah, you're spending time with Brad. Anything else in particular that's going on special?
Nothing.
Okay, good. We're looking for nothing to do. We're looking for nothing to do. Does Noah know that you want to do nothing?
Hopefully. Hopefully he knows, like, no fever, don't cough, don't sneeze, nothing.
Don't bring us to the ER, Noah.
Right.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
You know what I don't want to eat for Mother's Day? Hospital cafeteria food, yeah. Noah. on a weekend. That's the worst.
Well, they don't, at Texas Children's, they don't even give parent plates at all.
You know, Children's did when Henry was little, but they don't anymore.
Unless you're a nursing mom, then you can get them. And they're
fine. Yes.
I'm like, y'all might be number one in the country for cardiology, but you are number not even on a level for food.
Really?
Oh, my God. Unless it's prepackaged. Like, their goldfish is good. Because it comes in a package.
That really surprises me. You would just think that they would have like gourmet happening.
No.
Mm-mm. I honestly have never tried to get a dish, like a plate. Like I'm always like, can I just go down and get,
I'm very fortunate that I live in the same city that my child is treated in because somebody drops me off something here and there.
Well, I was going to say like, we might not have eaten lunch or dinner, but like we could come home for breakfast or some kind of meal. Right.
That was the only beneficial thing with the cancer coinciding with COVID, everybody DoorDash, Uber Eats, everybody switched to delivery.
Right.
Noah and I had, it's almost embarrassing the amount of stuff we had delivered. And like HEB, I could roll up and just pick up groceries.
Yeah.
They probably hated me.
Right.
Because it was like cases of water and Diet Coke and you know, all the big, you lazy, get out of the car. You know, but
it's so funny we talk about that because my cousin's kid, he was 4 and he got diagnosed with cancer. And I sent them Uber Eats gift cards. And I remember she texted me and she's like, I mean, this is just,
I feel like genius. I said, Uber Eats gift card.
Susan, this is the best gift anyone's given me since she got diagnosed. And I was like, because the cafeteria figured, she's like, but no one hasn't been in a hospital. Yeah. Like, you don't realize that, like, Even if the hospital's decent.
Right.
It's the same stuff.
It gets old. It gets old, right. Yeah. No doubt.
And Noah would all, you know, it would never fail. He wouldn't want to eat all day and then midnight. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
When they close. Uh-huh.
And
nothing's available.
You know, dwindled
like
down.
Applesauce again?
He was 52 pounds when we got out of IC at 10 years old.
Yeah.
And so anything he wanted to eat, whatever time it was, no problem.
Right.
And we'd get it.
Right.
But, man, there was something with, I'm like, I guess somebody was thinking about my fat behind and they decided, you know, to switch everything. And I still am terrible with it. Brad is like, if you don't stop
with
the DoorDash.
It becomes addictive. I know.
I'm like, but it's so
convenient and easy. Yeah.
He's like, right, but Burger King is down the street. I'm like, right, but then I have to get the car.
car
and lock the front door.
I'm
going to confess,
I've never had DoorDash.
DoorDash is like Uber Eats. It's the same thing.
No, but like in general, because Dwayne will look at me and he's like, no, we're just going to get
there. Yeah.
That's but like, he won't like... I mean, I may have gotten it once or twice when it first came out or during COVID, but as a whole.
See, but what I did was I went ahead and signed up for the Dash Pass.
Oh, and then you have to use it. Right, because it's monthly or whatever. You know,
And it's beneficial because you save.
You do. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. This was great. Okay, so happy Mother's Day to you, Casey, because you deserve it for sure.
And all the moms out there.
And all the moms. I hope everybody has a really great Mother's Day. We're going to continue our interviews later this month with some more moms and more Mother's Day features. But please make sure you share your personal stories, whether it be your kids' stories or if you're an adult with CHD and you would like to share it. You can email us at nolahotz@gmail.com and you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, @NolaHotz.
Please make sure to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Pandora. Share our podcast and please rate us if you listen via Apple. We love the reviews.
We're going to do our cheers. Casey, you're going to be invited with us to do our cheers. So,
wow. We're looking forward to the next episode. Don't forget, no judgment here. It's all about survival.
Cheers.